Hello and welcome to a TMC podcast. My name is Rich Tarani. I am the president of TMC and the group editor-in-chief of TMC and TMCNet. I'm very happy to be bringing you today's podcast on the 7th of May, which is Wednesday, 2008. Today we are going to be having two guests on our podcast. The participants will be the co-founders and managing directors of Mind Wireless. We will have David Wise and Kevin Whitehurst on the phone. David, Kevin, hello.
Hello, Rich. How you doing?
Good afternoon.
I'm doing exceptionally well. It's a beautiful day here in Connecticut, and I was very happy to be outside and get some fresh air. How about where you guys are?
It is absolutely beautiful. I'm looking right now at downtown Houston, with about 70 degrees and clear skies.
Ask us again in a month from now, the answer may be different.
Well, it's Dallas. Is it not Dallas where the weather changes every 5 minutes? Is that what the famous saying is?
It is, absolutely. If you don't like it, just wait 5 minutes, it'll change. Houston's somewhat similar. We get, you know, some coastal rains come in the afternoons, cool off a little bit, make it real nice and humid, and helps the mosquitoes grow really big down here.
I tell you, the one interesting little-known fact about Houston is that they have a really nice convention center there that I've been to once.
They do. You're right.
So I haven't been to any tech conventions there, but unbelievable in terms of how nice that center is to put on a convention. So do you want to just give me a one-minute overview on the space your company plays in?
Absolutely. Mind Wireless is focused on the wireless expense management space within telecom expense management. So large organizations that desire to manage their wireless phones, PDAs, BlackBerries, wireless devices and data cards, call on Mind Wireless to help organize and optimize from a cost perspective their wireless devices. And we work with Fortune 500 clients typically, and with about 2,000 devices or more. So we're Mind Wireless is really a outsourcing type organization, as well as we do client engagements where we work with a team that's internal with them as well.
Fantastic. Well, when you talk about wireless, obviously one of the devices that comes to mind is the iPhone, just because we hear a lot about the iPhone and its impact on the enterprise. I'm wondering, when we talk about smartphones, are the users of these devices always smart users?
It's a great question. No, they're not. In fact, that's becoming a big issue in within our clients today. What we have, we also, part of what Mind Wireless does is we've got a help desk that allows for employees within an organization, one of our clients, to call in, regardless of carrier, regardless of issue or problem, they can call our help desk to get help quickly. And what we're finding is as our clients are deploying more of these PDAs and smart devices, we're getting more calls. And so I think we see a lot of that happening in the organization.
It's really changing the nature of the kind of support we offer. 5 years ago, it was much more about how do I buy a phone or what's the right carrier. Now users have moved to, how do I actually use this thing, have now been given by my organization. And it also changes a lot of the organization's interest. Before, it was more about, hey, how do we pay for this device and minimize our expense around it. Now, as we talk about smart devices, they're connecting back to the corporate network, so it's a lot more about security and enabling employees to get the connectivity they need, but to, if they lose the device, make sure the organization can protect their data.
That's great. So in terms of total impact on the on the enterprise, what sorts of impacts are you seeing?
A large impact. Obviously, we're moving from an ideal with wireless phones where in the past the organizations may say, go get a phone from the local store, charge it in, and have your manager approve it, to the day where when the smart device is connecting to the network, they have to have a lot more controls around it and be able to manage it a lot better. So we're seeing a lot more interest in really getting their handle around what devices are out there, who has what, and who's connecting to the network, and who is walking around the city with all the emails and corporate private information in their hands.
And there's really been a paradigm shift from the old, you know, free phone, where it was almost a disposable product, to something where it's really now a mini computer. And as we continue to have technology convergence in the wireless, wireline computer space, that'll continue to drive up the ability and cost of devices. Even looking at the monthly recurring expense, you know, before you were looking at a voice-only plan, now you're stacking a voice plan plus a data plan and the enterprise expense, although decreasing on a voice side, especially in the optimized environment, it may be increasing from a total perspective for organizations when you're layering on the data plan, text messaging, your American Idol votes, of course, all of the figures.
In terms of tracking, how are companies dealing with the tracking of devices and trying to figure out their expenses on a monthly basis and just reconciling expense reports, et cetera?
That's a great question. There's a few answers that sort of surround that. First of all, how are they tracking? What we're finding is most organizations do not track who has what phone in the organization. So it's one thing to get a snapshot of, okay, today, May 7th, I've got 3,000 users, and here's who they are. It's easy to get a snapshot put together, but once you've done that, you've now had new employees join. If employees leave the company, it's a constant flowing target that you have to keep up with. That's something that Mind Wireless does. We have software that enables organizations to maintain on a fluid basis, ongoing basis, that transfer devices within employees as they come to the organization, as they leave the organization. But controlling the expenses side is also important, and as you mentioned in the second part of your question, and we have a lot of optimization and analysis tools that allow us to see, are the people on the right rate plans? Do folks that text with their kids have the right text message plan? So it's not, just looked at a report earlier this morning that showed an individual with over $170 in charges just for text messaging. They were on the right voice plan, and they had the right device, but they obviously started texting and did not have the correct plan to minimize the cost. That cost should have been $10 and not $170.
Wow.
So it's a big difference in trying to maintain costs. And we find through our audits and optimization many type features like that. And just an overall statistic, we typically save our clients close to 30% off of their wireless bills just by maintaining and monitoring usage. It's not just voice plans. It could be data plans and or text messaging plans and or some other internet-type plans like David mentioned on the American Idol. We actually had some good story where we saw some results of from the call detail of these American Idol votes. So we like to say maybe we knew the winner before it happened. You know, displayed. But, you know, we see a lot of things like that, too. We also see donations. You can donate through a text message. And without, you know, again, the company's authorization of this donation, which can go down many paths of problems for companies.
Wow. Out of all the things you said, I'm really curious about that American Idol situation here. I wonder if there's something you could do with that advanced information. It's kind of cool that you...
Hey, that's right. We knew Sanjay was out way before it happened.
In terms of corporate versus personal liability and the phones and how they're being used, how do you determine or do you determine which is better for an enterprise?
Well, we strongly recommend going to corporate liable, and here's why. A personal liable phone is really activated through the personal credit and personal of the each individual user. And they really have control of that, and there's laws against being able to view that data from a corporate perspective, even if the company's paying for it through expense reports. So really the best control is to have corporate liability. The company is liable if the bill's not paid, but it allows for the company to download the billing information and view the usage for that individual. It allows to manage from that perspective. Again, we couldn't see if they voted for American Idol or if they use text messaging or how much they use from a voice perspective if we didn't have that information, and we have to have corporate liability in order to retrieve that.
And from a pure cost perspective, we typically see the spend, average spend per device for corporate liable programs being about 20% less than that for their individual liable. It's maybe tempting for an employee to, you know, choose the rate plan that's best for them personally, maybe with their spouse being able to share their minutes or, you know, give them free nights and weekends so they can use their device outside of work hours. If you're looking at it from a purely corporate liable route, it allows us to look at it from what the best cost approach to take from the enterprise perspective. So things like free nights and weekends aren't that attractive in the corporate environment, where maybe something like a flat rate plan or more mobile to mobile may be much more advantageous. Those are all things we can negotiate or work with the carriers on in the corporate liable model that aren't available when the phone is individual liable and just a consumer plan.
Yeah, along those lines also, we recommend a policy to be implemented within each organization that states corporate liability is imperative if the company is going to reimburse them for that expense.
Especially, too, when we talk about the security side, when it's connecting back to the BES server or to really truly anything back in the corporate network, allowing an individual device, which the company has no really ability to control, to connect to the corporate network definitely opens up security risks. So another big reason why corporate liable makes sense in the enterprise model.
Great. Now, in terms of the telecom expense management side of wireless devices and where the savings is being found, is it as simple as changing plans, or are there more things that companies need to be aware of?
That's really the heart of where we find the majority of the savings. Obviously, there are corporate discounts that with volume, they can negotiate, say, 15 to 20% discount off of access fees, as well as they can negotiate discounts off of equipment when we buy it up front. The main thing in that regard is if we can really minimize the amount of equipment we offer to the employees, then that allows them to get greater discounts, perhaps, say, on a BlackBerry or a Nokia device, if they can limit that to the population of their employees. But the majority of the savings does come from the monthly billing analysis, which goes through and looks at rate plans, again, text messaging plans, and different audits that we can perform to help lower the cost. But you're right, that's typically where it comes from, and probably the majority of it. Like I said earlier, too, that 30% number, that's pretty, I would say a good 75% of that does come from the rate plan analysis.
Really? Okay. Now, in terms of companies that are already dealing with telecom expense management on the wired side, what happens on the wireless versus wired side? Is there a chance to integrate these things together?
There is a chance to integrate, and it's a little bit unnatural, however. And I'll explain that in that, you know, with the wireline and long distance, you really have the focus really is on, A, getting the bills in to get them paid. It's focused on setting up a contract that gives discounts over a long period of time, say 3 to 5 years, and does not have the monthly difference in usage from a rate plan side. Wireless really is a monthly issue that you have to keep up with. And I've said this a bunch, and David's here is going to laugh at me, but I compare it to my children's room. And, you know, if I go in once a day and say, hey, you know, pick it up, pick up your clothes, pick up your toys, or I may perhaps go help, which I don't like doing, but you know, if I do that daily, then after a month, it's in relatively good shape. If I didn't go in there for a month, then it is just completely out of whack, and they have no desire to pick up anything. And so it's similar to that from a wireless perspective. You have to check monthly for the optimization and the audits to make sure you keep that cost to a minimum.
That often, right? Okay. So what happens if you go more often than that?
Well, you know, it's something that you can go, say, on a quarterly basis. But, again, when you're doing that, you're really focused on catching, you know, differentiation in usage. You know, 1 month someone may have a job, they're really internal, and then a month later they may go to a more traveling job that requires them to use their cell phones a lot greater. And, again, catching that change, and again, that doesn't happen all the time, but that's a major feature. Another thing we see also in the rate plan side are some flat rates. So you may have some ability to modify the rate plans to for the best of how we're using those phones. If we have very low usage phones or security type phones, often flat rates can be a great tool so that we only really pay for the usage that has taken place. So again, we've got a monthly versus sort of a long-term effect. And also with wireless, you're really dealing with the end user. You're trying to control wireless expenses. You're really controlling, A, how the user's using their phone, but also how they're billing individually. Again, wireline and long distance, you're really working with a telecom management department and that they're setting up this feature for the employees. You really don't have that input from the employee to manage.
Now, a question on help desks. There are lots of things that happen with these wireless devices. They get dropped. They fall in. Mine recently, my cell phone had an untimely meeting with a big bowl of water. We'll leave it at that. And It survived, but they don't always. Thankfully, they don't. Mine did, but they don't always. What happens in terms of, like, what are ways that companies can be helped in terms of getting these broken and lost and waterlogged devices fixed?
Great question. And let me start with saying all the carriers have a consumer line and they have a business line. And so if you have a company with five different carriers, then you're looking at potentially 10 different numbers that need to be distributed or passed out to the employee base. And that can be very confusing if your employees are changing carriers and so forth. Mind Wireless, what we provide is one number for all issues, all carriers, and any problems. So if you do happen to drop your device in a large bowl, which I've done before, I think we've all done it, get it in your shirt pocket, reach over, and there it goes. But, you know, it's something that, you know, we can call in and help with those solutions and get a replacement phone out. Some of our clients, we keep hot spares so that when things happen like that, we can get a device the next day and they can keep moving and doing their job without spending that time on the phone with the carrier. And we've all done it. We've all spent the 30 minutes, 40 minutes online with the carrier, maybe over an hour. Our job is to get to the issue, take that hour of time to get something resolved, and then get back with our employee clients to resolve the issue without taking away from their work day to deal with an issue like this.
And I'm just curious, how many agents do you guys have?
I'm sorry, what?
How many agents do you have on the phones to handle this?
I see. Okay. We have about 40 agents working with us across clients and from a procurement perspective as well as help desk type agents.
Do you manage wireless expenses from a single location in a widely distributed company?
Yes, and that's the drive, and there's not one solution that works for all clients. But in terms of building the best practice model, we'd recommend that we have consolidated invoicing, consolidated management with a range of carriers that can meet the needs of that organization. You can imagine for a lot of enterprises that have maybe 1,000 locations across the U.S., or even, let's say, 50 locations, they may have a preferred carrier, but no one carrier is going to be the best solution in any situation. So most of our large clients end up having at least two, maybe three to four carriers in their preferred vendor list. But we do recommend that they do centralized billing, so they're receiving one invoice for those devices for that carrier, and then paying one bill, and then allocating the charges out across. Also, that centralized management ensures that as an employee calls in, they receive the best treatment they can receive, and also they're getting their full discounts that their company has negotiated. That all best works and most consistently operates when you have that centralized management in place.
Now, what do you see in terms of this new pricing situation a lot of the carriers are putting forth at $99? Is that affecting your business?
You know, actually, it adds to the list of all the options we've got available. So, you know, it can help, it can hurt it. I think, not hurting our business, but those type of plans can help organizations from a cost perspective. In some cases, they can hurt. What we find is, and when we look back through our clients and our databases, we find that our average cost for a device is generally, for voice only, about $68. And what that says is that, you know, I can move everybody to a 99 plan, but that's not necessarily going to change my cost or lower it. But what you really want to do is identify, okay, at what level or what minute usage value makes sense to move people to an unlimited plan like that. What we found is that with all of our pooling potential with our clients, that often the high usage around 2,500 minutes or more, if you're averaging 2,500 minutes per month on a monthly basis, then those plans are very effective and work very well. If not, typically it's better to be on a pool or on some other type of rate plan that may not be quite as expensive. But it's definitely a great option. And what we're seeing, I think David kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, but the price competitiveness on the voice side is going to continue to go down. The carriers are really banking on these data plans, BlackBerries, internet plans to really boost their revenue per user. In the past, when the revenue, ARPU, average revenue per user within these carriers may have been $50, $60, $70, that's now jumping by $40 to $50 to include these data plans. And so the price competition is really focused on that voice side. I just threw out a whole lot of information, too, and I apologize. Hopefully that was pretty clear.
Yeah, no, that was fine. Thank you. So what about things like, and this may be outside your area, but I'm curious, different carriers have strengths in different parts of the country, just, you know, cell towers, et cetera. Do you have thoughts on that or advice, or do companies ask you for that kind of thing?
Absolutely. I think we get that's probably one of the most common questions, and it's a great question. they say, well, who's the best? And, you know, our answer is always, it depends. And really, what we found is that if you had a room of 100 people and you were to ask them, is Verizon the best carrier? You'd have a group raise their hand. Is Sprint the best carrier? A group would raise their hand. They all seem to love a certain carrier, and it all stems from the fact of how well that device works from their home, on the way to work, at work, all the way where they play, and on the way back home. And so all those factors determine whether someone thinks this is a good carrier and where they are. Every carrier has strengths in different markets, different areas of the market, and there's not a single vendor that holistically can provide great service across the U.S. That's why we see and recommend to our clients you really need to have multiple carriers and multiple contracts and really allow the employees to select the provider that works best for them in the areas they work and play and live.
Right, because I know in my house, for example, there, you know, some carriers don't work at all and some do. And
right.
It's interesting.
And that'll change your opinion on the carrier. You know, oh, it doesn't work at my house. This is supposed to be the largest network in the out there. Why doesn't it work? So it is a common problem. And at this point, because the U.S. is so dispersed from a geographic standpoint, we're so spread out, it makes it very difficult to truly cover across a major metropolitan or even some, minor cities across the U.S.
Interesting. So on kind of a different note, what are you seeing in terms of iPhones and companies dealing with them coming into their IT organization kind of on, without the permission of the IT people, which seems to be happening a lot. Is that something you're seeing in your business?
Absolutely. The iPhone is one of the most anticipated products to come out within the wireless world, and there are a lot of attention. We have a lot of executives that, hey, I want one of these. What we are seeing, though, is the iPhone really is a consumer product, and we have not seen an iPhone within our organizations be a major impact. I'm sure they're there here and there, and I'm sure there's some exceptions made for the most important people and or the very the VIPs of the company. But there's a right now the iPhone is not considered a business device. It's something we don't see in the near future to be. In fact, some of our clients are banning these to be on the network because the security pieces and the reliability of that has not been proven.
And I'm wondering if the 3G improvement of this device is going to change or is not going to have any effect at all in terms of just people wanting it that much more and almost forcing it into an office.
Right. It'll have to help it. I mean, I think not being on 3G as a product launch did hurt it a little bit, but I think you still had the techies that really wanted the new device and be a part of the new iPhone. It's a great device and a great toy. But we don't see it being a part of the business anytime soon.
I think one thing it is doing is bringing at least awareness to new functionality or viewing wireless devices, again, in a little different light than we had prior to the iPhone. Some of the applications being brought, some of the two software that's being integrated or built specifically for the iPhone may also drive some of that quote-unquote need within the enterprise as those applications continue to be further developed.
It'll also be interesting to see what happens with BlackBerry and just RIM. I think I heard that, I can't remember the exact number, but somewhere between 5 and 8 phones, new phones are going to announce this year.
Yes, and so we're always the first to get the requests, but it'll mean probably a whole rash of new requests from those individuals that want to keep the latest technology available to them. And the new stuff coming out is good. The products are excellent and provide additional enhanced functionality for the users.
You know, we may also see an uptick in people that drop their old phones into those bowls of water and need a new one.
that's great. Unfortunately, mine was waterproof, so I still have my old phone.
Well, let it sit there for about 30 seconds.
Well, you have to leave it. I think turn it on when it's underwater. I think that's definitely a way to kill it for those listeners that are trying to figure out how to kill their devices.
Yeah. So.
Try not to have it plugged in when you drop it in the water and have your hand in the water, though. So,
right.
So thanks, guys. You've been listening to a TMCNet podcast. Actually, before I sign off, just any closing comments that either of you want to make?
I don't think so. You know, I think that we had a good overview of some of the issues that are happening within our company clients and you know, some of the things we're faced. And I think that just the idea of the corporate versus personal liability is something that is a huge issue and what we're seeing out there. And also, we're easy to find on the web, www.mindwireless.com.
Fantastic, guys. Thank you so much. You've been listening to a TMC Net podcast. My name is Rich Trani, the group editor-in-chief of TMC Net and of TMC, and you've been hearing from Mind Wireless is the company, and the co-founders and managing directors, David Weiss and Kevin Whitehurst, have been on the line with me here, and thank you very much for listening. And gentlemen, as always, this was a real pleasure to speak with you, and thank you so much for your time.
You bet. Thank you.